Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Eternally Bound by Brenda K. Davies, narrated by Holly Jackson. Chapter 1. Standing on the balcony, Ronan's eyes scanned the bodies writhing below him. The only thing he found enticing about the vast amount of flesh on display was breaking the necks of every person in the club. He tried to shake the impulse off, but his fangs throbbed in his gums at the thought, and it dug deeper into him with every passing second. His entire existence had revolved around one mission: protect the innocents of this world, whether they be human or vampire. It was a mission he'd followed for over 1,000 years, but with every passing day, the bloodlust growing within him dragged him closer to the edge he'd seen so many other vampires plummet over. Some of those other vampires he'd believed to be far better and stronger than him, yet they'd given in to their more sinister impulses. And somehow he remained, and now stood as the oldest vampire in existence, not just within his close-knit group of men, but throughout all the vampires. Every day he woke, he questioned if that day would be the day he fell too, and became the thing he despised the most, a savage. He didn't try to tell himself that he would never give in. He'd done that for many years, but this past year he'd come to realize it may be inevitable that he succumbed to the bloodlust beckoning him. If he didn't kill himself before that happened, he would start to kill the innocents he protected. It was the killing himself first part that would be tricky. Savage vampires thrived on the blood of innocents, but they weren't stupid or lost to the madness of the death they delivered. No, many of them remained intelligent and calculating, and they didn't want to die. A vampire who gave himself over to their inhumanity simply saw nothing wrong with what they were doing. The blood they consumed warped them into believing a vampire's true nature was to kill, and they were only living the way vampires were supposed to live. No matter how much he despised savages, if he gave in, he would most likely come to believe that too. Perhaps they were right. But Ronan refused to believe vampires were meant to be little more than animals who ruthlessly slaughtered the weaker masses. However, it didn't matter what he believed or what he didn't. He was teetering toward the savage side. When he went over, would his men, or even multiple vampires, be capable of taking him out as he had taken out so many of those who had fallen before him? That was a question he dreaded he would find out the answer to soon. The fine line he walked became thinner with every passing day, and with every death he delivered to the savages amongst his kind. The thrill of killing the vampires he hunted had once satisfied him, but that was centuries ago. Now, it barely kept the demon part of him at bay. The emptiness within him would never be filled. There wasn't enough blood, wasn't enough death to begin to satisfy him anymore. He faced the same bleak concept that the many who had fallen before him also faced: an eternity of nothing, or the possibility that giving in to their more savage nature would finally fill the emptiness inside. For some vampires, it hadn't been a difficult choice.
How much more time do I have?
His hands tightened on the railing, twisting over the cool metal as his teeth clamped together and his fangs slid free to press against the back of his lips.
I will not be one of them.
He told himself this every day when he opened his eyes and the emptiness greeted him, but it sounded hollow then, and it did again now. Even amongst those who were born vampires, the purebred such as himself, he was an anomaly and stronger than the rest. The turned vampires battled their darker natures too, but not as badly as the purebreds did. Because turned vamps were human before becoming vampires, they had more humanity in them than purebreds did. If he gave himself over to the darkness, he would never know this sensation of being torn in two again, and he would slaughter hundreds, possibly thousands, before being stopped, if he could be stopped. No matter what, he couldn't lose control like that. He didn't like humans overly much, but there were rules, and they must be obeyed if the vampire race was to continue undetected. Vampires were stronger than humans, but they were also vastly outnumbered by mortals. Fear would have humans turning on them, slaughtering them, and studying them like lab rats. Some, if not many of the mortals, may try to become vampires, which would create more savages. If such a thing happened, the vampire food supply would be depleted, and the world would fall into chaos. The rules had to be strictly followed. This had been instilled into him from the moment of his birth. His parents had made sure he knew he would one day lead and keep the vampire and human races protected, that he would become a defender, a vampire who protected the innocents and made sure the rules were obeyed. Things may be far different now than when his parents had been alive, but that mission still drove him every day. Beside him, Declan shifted his stance as he glanced at Ronan from the corner of his eye. Declan's eyes were so pure gray, they appeared silver as he surveyed the scene beneath them. He ran a hand through his dark auburn hair before tugging at the ends. At 600 years of age, Declan was the second oldest of their group, younger than only him. They'd been fighting together since Declan had reached maturity at 24. Ronan had known Declan for his entire life, yet he still didn't know all of Declan's secrets. He did know that he'd never seen his friend so apprehensive about a possible kill before, and he didn't understand it. He'd expected Declan to be eager to destroy Joseph. Ronan suspected Declan's apprehension was because his father had been the last defender to give in to his savage nature, and it was stirring up old memories, rather than the fact they were now hunting one of their own. Joseph had been a powerful fighter and ally for nearly 50 years. However, he and Declan had been like two dogs circling each other whenever they were in the same room. Declan's more easygoing nature had abraded with Joseph's austere personality. In truth, Ronan had never liked Joseph either, and never considered him a friend as he did the other defenders who worked with him. But Joseph had been a strong fighter, and had made it all the way through the rigorous training every purebred that worked with him had to endure. Ronan had seen little of Joseph over the years as he'd run the training facility for turned and purebred vamps who wished to hunt savages. Months ago, Joseph had given in to his bloodlust and become a savage. Ronan had been trying to track him down ever since, but Joseph knew how they operated and how to fly under their radar. Not even Brian, a turned vamp who sometimes helped them to track down savage vamps, could pinpoint Joseph's location. Until now. Brian had called a few hours ago to let him know he'd gotten a track on Joseph in this area of Providence, Rhode Island. This club was the most likely place to attract Joseph. A club full of drunk humans was a homing beacon for vampires on the prowl. It was easy to prey on the humans here, and if Ronan got the chance, he would feed here tonight. Feeding could wait. For now, they were on the hunt for something else. His eyes swept the dance floor once more. Unable to take the flashing lights in places such as this, he'd put on a pair of dark sunglasses before entering, but the pulse of the flashing lights still made his head pound. The thumping beat of the music vibrated the floor beneath his feet. His gaze landed on the DJ. He ran his tongue over his fangs as he contemplated tearing the man's throat out to end the annoying beat. What had happened to real music, like Beethoven and Chopin? He'd even take some Duke Ellington, Frank Sinatra, or Billy Joel over this. This crap was enough to drive the best of vampires over the edge, and he was far from the best. But the humans liked it as they ground against each other with a frenzy the equivalent of foreplay. Movement behind him drew his attention to Killian and Saxon as they approached from the shadows. The few humans who had been standing nearby shrank away from Killian and vanished down the stairs.
"Anything?"
Ronan demanded of them. Killian shook his head as his golden tiger eyes went past Ronan to the dance floor. A scar sliced straight down from his deep brown hairline and over his right eye before ending halfway down his cheek. Killian had come to work with Ronan when he was 52. That had been 400 years ago, and Ronan still had no idea what had caused that scar or who had given it to him. He knew it had been inflicted on Killian before he'd become a fully mature vampire only because it remained. Next to Killian, Saxon folded his arms over his chest and his hazel eyes drifted toward the ceiling. His dark blonde hair stood up in spikes around his head.
"Something else might have attracted him away from here,"
Saxon said.
"There may be another club or bar or something we missed nearby."
Or Joseph had managed to elude them again. Ronan's teeth ground together as he released the railing.
He wasn't looking forward to killing the vampire he'd once considered an ally, but he wanted this over with. With Joseph's purebred status, knowledge of the way they worked, and complete disregard of human and vampire life, he was far more lethal than many of the other savages they'd dealt with. It had been centuries since one of their own had given in to their savage nature. As far as Ronan could tell, going by the increased amount of disappearances, people who'd had their throats cut and animal attacks since Joseph had given in, he'd killed over 100 people and was averaging at least one a day. That didn't include the amount of vampires he'd slaughtered, too. With every human death, Joseph grew in power, but he also became weaker. By now, Ronan knew his old ally couldn't tolerate the sun anymore. Holy water and crucifixes would affect him, and soon enough, he wouldn't be able to cross large bodies of water, if he still could now. Movement on the dance floor drew his attention as a tall man with black hair glided through the crowd with ease. Some of the women stopped dancing to flirt with him, and the three men trailing him. All the men continued through the crowd as if they didn't see the women. Ronan grasped the rail again as he watched the four of them. Judging by the way they carried themselves and the thick coats they wore when the humans had all checked theirs, Ronan knew what they really were.
"Hunters," he murmured. "And not human hunters, but born ones."
The born vampire hunters sometimes took in humans who knew of the existence of vampires. The hunters trained these humans how to kill vampires, but often those human hunters were bait for vampires. The hunters believed vampires were the monsters, but the practice of using the humans as bait was more ruthless than anything Ronan had ever done to a human.
"Bastards,"
Killian hissed so low that Ronan barely heard him.
"Well, that made this night a lot less fun,"
Declan said as he leaned his hip against the rail.
"Do you think they're tracking Joseph?"
Saxon inquired.
"I don't know,"
Ronan replied as he watched the four men disappear beneath the balcony.
"Watch the stairs. If they come this way, be prepared to fight."
Saxon and Killian slipped back toward the stairs, moving through the few humans gathered in the shadows. Most of the mortals were entangled with someone else, or multiple someone else's. A few were huddling together, seeking a fix from their drug of choice. Ronan had come here to destroy Joseph, but now they may also have to take out an enemy they hadn't expected. An enemy that didn't have to be an enemy if the hunters weren't so fucking stupid. But throughout the history of vampires and hunters, and despite their common ancestors, the hunters always believed all vamps were bad. There was no reasoning with them. There was only surviving them. He'd done what he had to do to survive before and killed a couple of hunters in his lifetime. If it became necessary, he would do it again tonight. Chapter 2. Cadence watched from the shadows as her brother Nathan disappeared down the stairs to the club with her fellow hunters Asher, Logan, and Jace following him. Nathan would kill her if he knew she was here, or, more likely, lecture her for hours on end. But she wasn't going to sit this hunt out. She was forced to sit out most of her life. She wouldn't miss this. She just had no idea how to get into that club. Her gaze ran over the line of people snaking around the side of the building and waiting to get inside. The man at the front of the line held a red rope. He'd let her brother in as soon as Nathan approached him. Cadence had never met the man before, and if she had to wait in line, she would never make it inside in time. She didn't know how or why, but she'd always somehow known things over the years, and her instincts were telling her this would be the night and she had to get inside now. Just as her instincts had told her when her father was killed, she shuddered at the memory of the sweeping, empty feeling that had descended over her the second her father left this world. Hours later, his death was confirmed, but it had been no surprise to her when she saw his body. Her fingers dug into her palms at the reminder of how ineffective she'd been. Yes, she'd known when he died, but she hadn't known in time to try to prevent that death. Now she knew that tonight was the night they would find the vamp who had murdered her father. She'd been working on trying to break out of the stronghold for a while, but she'd known tonight was the night she had to go. She'd buried her anxiety over the prospect of being on the other side of the walls that had encompassed her for most of her life and put her escape plan into motion. As a hunter, she'd been trained on how to kill a vamp. But as a female hunter, she'd never been allowed to actually fight a vamp or to mingle with humans. This was the first time she'd been out of the hunter's stronghold in 20 years, and the last time was only because they'd relocated from Virginia to Massachusetts when an upswing of vampire activity drew them to the area. Most times, she understood why she was kept so sheltered, but she resented it all the time. There was so much of the world to see, so much to explore and learn outside of the thousands of books she'd pored through in her lifetime. She knew hunters were vital to keeping the human population safe from the monsters that came out at night, but did that mean her life had to be sacrificed? Cadence sighed and her shoulders hunched forward. Yes, that's exactly what it meant. As her dad had always told her, one life was nothing compared to the billions of lives relying on the hunter race to continue. Yes, they could recruit humans, and they did, but it was necessary to continue the pure hunter line as well. However, it was often difficult for a female hunter to conceive, so the women were protected and the men fought. She'd been privileged to be born into her role as a future wife and mother. Or at least, that's what she'd been told repeatedly over the years. She didn't think being locked away to the point of claustrophobia and already betrothed to Logan was all that lucky, but her opinion didn't matter. Next month, she would be living out her purpose as a wife. Cadence's skin crawled at the reminder of her impending nuptials. Logan was a good, strong, capable man, but he was more like a brother to her than a husband. There was no spark between them, at least not on her end. She had no idea what a spark with a man felt like, but she'd read about it in some of the romance novels in the Stronghold. In those books, a spark was extremely important. But those were books, and this was reality. And in her reality, there were no sparks with her soon-to-be husband. Because her father had been the leader of the hunters and her brother now was, she'd been paired with the strongest available hunter. And as Nathan's second-in-command, Logan was one of the best. Cadence blew out a breath as she watched the unmoving line. She had no idea what one had to do to get inside, but she hadn't managed to escape the stronghold to be deterred now. It had taken a lot of planning to break free. She hadn't been prepared for this, but she would figure it out. Thrusting her shoulders back, Cadence brushed her braid over her shoulder and slipped from the shadows. The January air chilled her cheeks as she approached the mountain of a man holding the rope. At first, his chestnut eyes ran dismissively over her, but then they became more leisurely in their perusal of her. Cadence frowned at him before waving her hand after where Nathan and the others had gone down the steps. "Nathan is my brother," she said.
"Is that so?"
the man inquired with a smirk. "Yes."
"Then why didn't you enter with him?"
Cadence grappled to come up with a response. Glancing down the line of people, she noticed most of them were focused on the phones in their hands. A few were watching her, some with interest, others with hostility. "I forgot my phone at home and couldn't call to let him know I was running late. He probably assumed I'd changed my mind about meeting him here," she lied with ease and flashed the man her best smile. The man's eyes ran over her one more time. Cadence stilled her fingers when they fidgeted with the edges of her sleeves. She was so far out of her element here, awkward in a way she'd never been before. If she'd been a human woman, she would be comfortable with talking to this man. She would know what to say. But all she knew was what she'd been raised to know. Vampires, marriage, babies. Fresh resentment shot through her. Life could be worse. She told herself this 1,000 times a day, but it had yet to fully sink in. She should be grateful for all she had instead of resentful for everything denied her. Still, she wanted to push this guy out of her way and stroll into the club instead of standing here like a moron with a growing group of humans peering curiously at her.
"Next time, come with him,"
the man said and lifted the rope before he stepped aside.
"Oh, come on! This is bullshit! Nathan is my brother, too!"
a chorus of voices shouted from the line. Cadence ignored all of them as she hastened down the steps toward the thumping beat coming from behind the closed door below. Before she could open the door, it swung inward to reveal a woman holding it for her.
The woman smiled at her as the music increased to the point where Cadence's head pounded in rhythm with it.
"You can check your coat," the woman said, and waved her arm at a window behind her.
A man stood there resting his elbows on the wooden windowsill, but he straightened when he saw Cadence.
"No, thank you."
Cadence pulled her coat closer against her as she turned away from the woman. She didn't know much about humans, but her books, her family, and other hunters had told her enough about the human world to know the weapons tucked into her coat would not be welcome here. Hurrying down the hall, she walked toward the music. She worried Nathan would discover her here, but she couldn't deny the thrill of excitement running through her at being free and finally seeing something of the human world. Granted, it was for the worst reason possible that she was out of the stronghold, and she had no idea how to interact with this world, but she was free. Stepping out of the hall, she found herself standing at the edge of a dance floor. Cadence gawked at the spectacle of all the humans moving and jumping around before her. She and her friend Simone had spent a lot of time dancing in each other's rooms over the years, but she'd never seen anything like this. The complete inhibition, lack of clothing, and energy of the place fascinated her as much as it unnerved her. The aromas of sweat and alcohol intermingled so completely with each other that she could barely separate the two. There was nothing like this in the stronghold. Simone would be in absolute awe when Cadence went back and told her what she'd seen here. Went back. Cadence shook her head to clear it of the sadness creeping through her at the thought of returning to the stronghold, a place that was a beautiful prison for her and so many other women. Granted, most of the women there didn't think of it that way, but she'd give anything to spread her wings and break free of her gilded cage. "Not the time," she told herself sternly. "You are here for a reason." Her gaze scanned over the crowd as she searched for the vampire who had murdered her father. She also kept an eye out for her brother. Ronan's gaze honed in on the woman who emerged from the hallway to stand at the edge of the dance floor. Her silver blonde hair, dangling in a braid over her shoulder to her left breast, reflected the colors flashing over her in an array of reds, blues, and yellows. The lights played over her delicate features and lit the awe on her face as she stared at the humans. A smile tugged at the corners of her full mouth when a group danced close by her. Many of the people below displayed more flesh than they covered, but Ronan found his gaze riveted on her fully clothed body in its form-fitting black pants, which were tucked into ankle-high black boots. Her calf-length black coat pushed back as she settled her hands on her hips to watch the crowd. Beneath the coat, she wore a black turtleneck that hugged her breasts, slender waist, and rounded hips. She looked to be a good 5 inches shorter than him at about 5'7". Her smile slid away, and her hands fell from her hips as she surveyed the crowd with a far more serious eye. Then her head fell back, her gaze locked onto his, and he was treated to a full-on view of her striking beauty. The image of her body, naked beneath his and moving in a sensuous dance against his sheets, caused his cock to harden. He felt like he had when he'd been 12 and first discovering the joys of the female body, before the enjoyment of sex had faded away over the many years of his death-filled life. He couldn't recall the last time he'd desired a woman, but it had never been with this intensity. For the first time in centuries, he lusted after a woman, and he would have her. Chapter 3. The air rushed out of Cadence's lungs when she spotted the man above. Though his eyes were shaded with sunglasses, she knew he was focused on her. Butterflies fluttered to life within her stomach as she drank in the details of the man. Not handsome, she wouldn't define him as that, but definitely intriguing. Her fingers itched to trace the contoured planes of his high cheekbones and the stubble lining his square jaw. His sable eyebrows drew together over the bridges of his Roman nose as he watched her. She had no idea why he was wearing sunglasses inside, but she would give anything to pull them off and reveal the color of his eyes. Sparks. For the first time in her life, she understood the romance novels as she was hit with the urge to get closer to this man, to touch him like she'd never touched another, to slip that coat from his shoulders and run her hands over him before rising on her toes to kiss him. The possibility of those arms wrapping around her and drawing her close had her taking a step forward. A woman bumped into her, knocking her back and tearing her attention away from the man. Cadence blinked as she was jarred back to reality. Her gaze ran over the humans before she retreated from the dance floor to hover on the edge. She refused to look up again for fear she would be lost to the strange pull that man had over her. She'd come here for a reason, and she would not be deterred from it. It had seemed odd the man wore sunglasses inside, but that faded when she realized some of the other men and women also wore them. Must be some human fashion thing, she decided.
Hello, sugar,
Declan purred from beside Ronan.
I think she might make a very tasty treat.
Ronan didn't have to look at him to know Declan had also spotted the woman. In a crowd of nearly 100 humans, she stood out as clearly as the full moon from the stars. Declan leaned forward to inspect the woman more closely.
Don't,
Ronan snarled, half tempted to throw his friend over the railing. He had no idea where the impulse came from. He was not an easy man, but he was tolerant. He'd learned years ago that giving into anger and having a temper were pointless. However, the way Declan looked at the woman, as if he could see straight through her clothes, had Ronan ready to punch him. Declan's head turned toward him.
Claiming her for yourself tonight. We have a mission,
Ronan bit out. The thick sunglasses may be shading his eyes, but he knew Declan was aware that he remained focused on the woman.
After the mission, then.
Ronan tore his attention away from her to look at Declan. His friend's casual air vanished. He straightened away from the railing and took an abrupt step back. Ronan didn't have time to contemplate Declan's reaction to him before the rancid stench of garbage wafted through the air. His gaze returned to the dance floor as he searched for the source of the smell. The crowd of people flowed away from the corner as Joseph glided out of the shadows from the entryway. Yet even as the humans moved away from him, some of the women and men practically tripped over themselves to get closer to him. A vampire's innate ability to lure someone closer drew the humans to Joseph like a bee to nectar. Their instincts told them this was no nectar, but a Venus flytrap set to spring and devour them whole. Unfortunately for these humans, Joseph's lure won out over their fight-or-flight instincts. Ronan looked to the woman only 20 feet away from Joseph. His lips skimmed back when the woman's gaze locked on Joseph strolling through the crowd. Unlike the other females, she didn't saunter toward the vampire. Instead, her hand went to something at her side. Ronan's eyes narrowed at her unusual reaction. The black-haired male hunter emerged again at the edge of the dance floor, drawing the woman's gaze to him. Cadence wanted to kick herself when Nathan spotted her from the other side of the dance floor. She'd finally succeeded in breaking free of the stronghold, finally made it here, and she'd been busted within 5 minutes of walking into the club. So much for being a stealthy hunter. She'd completely blown it, and now she would never have another opportunity to be free again. Nathan would make sure of that. If the monster didn't die tonight, she'd never be able to witness it. Going by what she'd been told about him and the odor coming from him, she'd known the minute the vampire who killed her father came into eyesight. She'd also forgotten about everything else as her blood thrummed with the need to see the monster slaughtered. For a second, Ronan watched as the hunter and woman locked eyes, and then the male was moving toward her so fast that the humans didn't register his passing. The born hunters may not be vampires, but they certainly weren't entirely human either. 10 feet before the hunter reached the woman, he stopped in the middle of the dance floor. His head swiveled and his nostrils flared as his gaze locked on Joseph. The hunter's eyes darted between the woman and Joseph before he closed the distance to the woman. Ronan couldn't hear what they said to each other over the thumping music, but when the man snatched the woman's arm, she yanked it away from him and planted her hands on her hips. A low growl rumbled up Ronan's throat. Joseph was right there, yet he found himself thinking about breaking the hunter's hand for daring to touch her when she obviously didn't welcome it. For daring to touch her when it was all that he wanted to do. The woman's hands moved through the air as she spoke. The man's followed suit as they faced off. Then the crowd parted and Joseph moved within feet of them. Joseph's attention remained on the women at his sides as he walked by the male hunter. The man and woman stopped speaking as they focused on Joseph. Their faces filled with a hatred Ronan suspected ran deeper than a hunter's normal animosity toward vampires. When Joseph was out of sight, the man took hold of the woman's arm and led her over to join the three other hunters standing beside the dance floor. The woman moved with the same lethal speed as the man, confirming her as what she was. Ronan shoved aside the disappointment slithering through him at the realization the woman was completely off-limits.
A female hunter,
he murmured.
I thought they were a myth,
Declan stated.
Apparently not.
Ronan.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?